Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are restoring original Christianity for today. One of the most vital books that we have it online. You can download it online. It is The Life of Jesus Christ, A Harmony of the Gospels, in modern English. I first wrote this in 1974, but it has all the chronological layout of the life of Jesus Christ and his ministry. Now, there's another book which we have subsequently published, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. And the first appointed time is the Passover. And the Passover and the Christian Passover are the most important thing that you have to know to begin to start to understand about true Christianity. Unless you understand that, you may have a form of Christianity. You may be well-intended. You may feel good about what you're doing. But unless it conforms to the Word of God, it has very little practical value, spiritually speaking, toward eternal life. Now, it may have a great deal of value in this life to keep you from living in overt sin, to keep you from falling into terrible and wretched sin, but God wants you to have eternal life. And the only sacrifice that will pay for the sins of human beings is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who was God manifested in the flesh. Now, after Jesus had given the instructions for the new covenant with the foot washing, the breaking of the bread, and the drinking of the wine, then Jesus and the disciples went out to a place, the Garden of Gethsemane. And there Jesus prayed. And his prayer was really quite a fantastic prayer. Now, the full details of that prayer is recorded in the 17th chapter of John, and that is the true Lord's Prayer. Now, we find a summary of it here in Luke, the 22nd chapter. Then he left the house and went, and as he was accustomed, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you do not enter into temptation." And he withdrew himself about a stone's throw, and falling on his knees, he prayed. Now, we need to understand the very depths of this prayer. All of eternity was hanging in the balance of this. We find in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, that it says that Jesus cried out with strong cryings and tears and supplications to the Father, who was able to save him from death. The most unthinkable thing was going to happen. God, manifested in the flesh, was literally going to die for the sins of his creation. And we're going to see that he prophesied this hundreds of years before it took place. And it was known that this was going to happen from the foundation of the world. And as a matter of fact, we've already covered this in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. After Adam and Eve sinned, he gave the very first prophecy of his coming as the Messiah to save humanity from the sins of Adam and Eve. And even when it talks about where it's recorded that John the Baptist, in telling some of his disciples who later became the disciples of Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Because all the sins of the world come from the one sin of Adam and Eve. Because they received as the penalty and judgment for their sins, they received the law of sin and death within their very makeup. And that was genetically passed on to all of their offsprings. every one of us. And since God put that into Adam and Eve, and it's transferred genetically to every other human being, only God has the ability to remove that. Only God, with his sacrifice, being manifested in the flesh, because his creator, he caused it. Now, through his sacrifice, he's going to provide the way out of it. Now notice his prayer. Jesus prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing to take away this cup from me. In other words, this is going to be so bad, so horrible, so awful, so trying, that can this be delayed for another time? And that's because Jesus also had human nature. But he also knew that he of himself could do nothing, and that this was the will of God. So he follows that by saying, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Now this was such a tremendous thing that was going to happen, that Jesus, being in the flesh, needed extra strength. And so God sent it via the way of an angel. Verse 43, then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground. Now that's how intently that he prayed. Now let's see some of the prophecies that he gave concerning this. He knew what was going to happen. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew that he was going to be hauled before Pilate and Herod for judgment. He knew that he was going to be beaten and scourged. And the will of God we're going to see was that this happened to him. Now let's come to Isaiah 52. Let's see what he knew that he had to look forward to. Let's see that he understood what was going to happen. Verse 14. Many were astonished at him, for his body was so disfigured, even his form beyond that of the sons of men. And then, here's something that always happens in the Old Testament. After explaining something that is very hard to handle, a very heavy thing that is laid upon us, then God shows what the purpose of it is for. So verse 15, so that he may sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for they will see that which was not told to them, yea, they had not heard, shall they consider. In other words, they're going to consider this once they grasp what's going to happen. So he knew that the scourging, he knew that the beating would be more than any other human being would go through. And we find in Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. So Jesus knew that was coming. What a thing it was. Now, the movie by Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ, shows much of this in graphic detail, although he missed perhaps the most important thing, that this was all done on the Passover day, and that he was the Passover to take away the sin of the world. Now let's come to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is a chapter which talks about the will of God, that Jesus would go through what he went through. Now, isn't that something? That God would divest himself of his divinity, of his power, and retain just as much of his nature of God as necessary to be God manifested in the flesh, to be born of the Virgin Mary, to live a perfect life, to carry human nature within him and yet never sin, so that when he died for the sins of the world, his perfect sacrifice would cover the sins of the world, and God through that would condemn sin in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus went through everything that people go through. No one can ever say, "Oh, Lord, you don't know what it is to suffer." Now, all of this was prophesied. And when Paul went preaching, when they searched the scriptures daily in Berea to see if these things were so, they were reading the very things that we are going to read here of the prophecies of what Jesus would go through. And that's what Paul preached. Verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." Now, human beings couldn't stand it. "And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." And what did they say when he was on the cross? "Oh, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Messiah, come down off the cross." And even one of the thieves said, "Well, if you're the Christ, take yourself down off the cross and save us too." But notice what he had to do. Notice what was the reason for this. Verse 4, "Surely he has borne our infirmities and has carried our sorrows." How's your life? Heavy? Difficult? Take it to Christ. He's borne it. Ask him to lift the burden from you. He will. But most people don't consider it in his days. "Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." That is, he's going through this because of his own sins. They didn't know who Jesus was. The disciples didn't know who Jesus really, really was, except the Christ of the living God. They didn't know that he was, in fact, the creator of mankind manifested in the flesh. He had to reveal that to his disciples after he was resurrected from the dead. Here's the reason that he went through everything that he did. All the beating, all the scourging, all of the rejection, all of the denial. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace," that is, so we could have peace with God, "was upon him. And with his stripes we ourselves are healed." Now, that's quite a penalty to voluntarily take upon himself as God to do this. Now, that takes an awful lot of love. That takes a lot of understanding. Because verse 6, it tells what we are like as human beings. "We're all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." In effect, by saying, "You created them and they sinned. You let Satan the devil upon them and they followed him. You take all of this upon yourself because you are responsible for doing it." "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a slam," correction, "he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression," the oppression inspired by Satan the devil, "and judgment," the false judgments and trials that he went through, "he was taken away. And with his generation, who did consider that he was cut off out of the land of the living? For the transgression of my people he was stricken." Isn't that amazing? How much does God the Father and Jesus Christ really love you. Do you know that? That's why God wants us to repent of our sins. We have the forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And here's what he went through. Here's what was on his mind when he was praying there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew everything that was going to happen. Even the words that he would utter, we'll see a little later, those were given to David. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, although he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Always spoke the truth. Always faithful and loyal to God the Father. What did he say of himself? I have not come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I of my own self can do nothing. So in that last prayer, though he said, if this could be for another time, no, it's now. And he knew it was now. He said, nevertheless, your will be done. Now let's read verse 10, Isaiah 53. Yet the Lord willed, that was the will of God, to crush him, and he has put him to grief. For what purpose? Why would God go through all of this? Because that's what all humanity has gone through. Look at the wars, look at the death, look at the accidents, look at the sickness, look at the disease, look at the politics, look at the everything that human beings do under the power of Satan, the devil, who's the god of this world and who has deceived the world. And look what they have done to the understanding of the true Passover Lamb of God and the Christian Passover that we should observe on the day that God ordained that all of these things would take place. And in this, he overcame Satan the devil. He overcame human will. He overcame sin. He overcame pain. He overcame absolute destruction of his body. You shall make his life an offering for sin. That was the sin offering. Every sacrifice under the old covenant portrayed the coming sacrifice of Christ. That's why his sacrifice is greater. That's why we read the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Only this sacrifice can take away sin. Nothing else can do it. That's why when we sin and repent, we're to repent to God, not to some priest in a little closet somewhere. No, but to God, because this is the sacrifice that he put himself through so that you could be forgiven. He was the offering for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the whole world. But you've got to know the other holy days of God to understand the timing of how God is going to bring this to the whole world. Right now, we're living in the last days. Right now, we're living in the time that is going to be terrible and difficult, and we need the strength of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God. We need to have confidence in the forgiveness of our sins and the greatness of Christ and the greatness of God the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, because we may be called upon to go through some very difficult times. So it says, he shall see his seed, because there's a resurrection, and we are going to be the children of God. He shall prolong his days, resurrected from the dead, and live forever, that the purpose of the Lord might prosper in his hand. And that was the purpose of the Lord, and so that many sons and daughters can enter into the kingdom of God. That's why we need original Christianity for today, what Jesus taught, what these prophecies show us and tell us, what the Word of God in the New Testament tells us. This is what we need more than anything else. Whatever beside that is can end up being just playing church or being self-righteous or just living in deceit and confusion. Now let's continue. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his own soul. He shall be fully satisfied. That will satisfy as payment for all human sin. But you cannot receive the payment of your sins until you repent and are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God, and enter into the true grace of God. And that's what original Christianity is all about. So he says, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, be put in right standing with God, through the blood and sacrifice of Christ. And he shall bear their iniquities, just like we read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, that he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Therefore I have divided to him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. That is, bringing the kingdom of God to the earth and setting up the government of God on this earth. We need to understand all the governments of this world are going to fail. The economics of this world are going to fail. The education, the religion of this world are going to fail. And as a matter of fact, in the final rebellion, mankind is going to fight the return of Christ. But Christ is going to resurrect all the saints. And we're going to come back and rule this world. And Christ is going to have Satan bound and removed, that his deception no longer come upon mankind. Why is that going to happen? Because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was counted among transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for transgressors. That's why he's at the right hand of God right now. He can make intercession for you so that you can be put in right standing with God, so that you, as we will cover next time, how through the sacrifice and shed blood of Jesus Christ, that is the propitiation of our sins. And that's what we need, every one of us. We need the mercy and forgiveness of God every single day. Now, I want to bring to your attention again, this is so important, and you need to have it. Now, you can have the literal book by writing, emailing, or phoning the office and asking for it. This is The Harmony of the Gospel, The Life of Jesus Christ in Modern English. And it is the whole layout of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And you need the book, The Appointed Times of the Messiah. This lays out everything concerning the appointed times of Jesus and gives you also a glimpse of the second coming of Christ, which is going to be a great and an awesome thing. And that's the next thing to happen in the plan of God for those who belong to Christ. Now in the world, a great deception is going to come out of all the calamity at the end. And it is going to be led by Satan, the devil, the beast, and the false prophet. And this world is going to be in the clutches of sin and wretchedness. And only those who repent and have the Spirit of God will know what is going on. And this is the very reason why we have church at home. You don't hear these kind of things when you go to church. You don't understand these things. You have never been taught these things. Oh, they may have nibbled around the edges of some of them, but you need the truth of God. You need the original Christianity for today so that you can live it, that you can love God, that you can follow God, that you can have His Spirit, that you can fulfill the purpose of your life by answering the call of God. And it all begins with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the remission of sins. And this is what He had to go through so that you and I and the rest of humanity may be saved. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, and we have many sermons you can download, listen to. We have audio, we have video, we have transcripts. You need all of these things, and the place to begin is in your home. So until next time, thank you for inviting me into your home, and this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.